Welcome, everybody, to the second letter of our journey through the Aleph Beis, the letter Beis, and the topic Baalei Tshuva, Masters of Repentance. That is the topic tonight in our show, newly restored from years back, my old show, Shaul and Tell, a Torah Wellspring. So tonight's topic, again, is Baalei Tshuva, Masters of Tshuva, referring to really a term that refers to people who change their lives from being secular to religious, to put it in simple terms. In our time, it's used in kind of like a, you know, very easy way. Yeah, he's a Baal Tshuva. He's a master of repentance, simply saying that he changed his life, he became religious. That's sort of a way that phrase comes into play today, versus a from birth person who was religious all his life. Now, one of the individuals who has made a tremendous impact throughout the world and changing lives, both from the Jewish world and even beyond the Jewish world, to bring them back to Torah, to the light of the Torah, to the truth of the Torah, is Rabbi Yosef Mizrahi, and I will have a very lengthy interview with him in just a little bit. But at this particular time, I want to speak about the topic, tshuva, and particularly how it may relate to the letter, because as I mentioned, this show follows an interesting format, following the Hebrew alphabet, and we're up to the letter Beis. So we're going to continue at this point to look at the letter Beis and its connection to Baalei Tshuva. It's my own sort of interesting way, because really, technically, I could have done this on the letter Saf, Tshuva, but we're starting with Baalei Tshuva. And it led me to think in terms of the relationship of the letter Beis to Tshuva, which there really is a very interesting connection. So let's talk about that connection. Well, first of all, the letter Beis has a structure, a shape, that is only open on one side. That's what they say, the Torah begins with the letter Beis, to emphasize that we only can go forward. And that's one aspect of Tshuva, of repentance, that a person can't look back and say, oh, yo. When you do tshuva, it's like like a newborn. You're starting again. You only go forward. And that's very much like the letter Beis. And that's one aspect of tshuva, which is, you can see, connected to the letter Beis. We're going forward. Whatever person has done in their lives, whatever falls they have, whatever mistakes they made, whatever harm they may have done to themselves, others, in any way or form, tshuva means you go forward. So that is symbolic and symbolized in the letter Beis. Another connection to Beis in tshuva is that a person, Beis is also a number, it's two. And a person does tshuva, repents, he's one person before. And now when he repents, he's like another person. He's not the same person. That's one of the ways that he does tshuva. He says, the one who did that, that's not me. That's not the true me. That's not ani. That's the I. And Rabbi Soloveitchik, in the famous book, Al HaTshuva, On Repentance, there's a whole beautiful essay on that. He person is a new person. He's two. He was once before. And that's the same concept of the two names of Hashem's name. Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, twice. As we say, Hashem, Hashem, Hashem is before the sin. Hashem after the sin. Of course, Hashem is one. But it means two different ways that Hashem relates to us and shows rachmim to us, before and after. So that's the two, and it's related to the letter Beis. There's another connection to the letter Beis, and that the letter Beis, and this actually I saw in the Skelener Rebbe Sefer, he talks about the letter Beis, as also the word Beis is like the word Beis, house, but it also hints to going in a house, going inwards, going inside. Beis means in, and house, going inside, in. Beis literally means in as a prefix. So when a person does tshuva, was repent, he goes inside himself. There's a certain inner movement, a soul searching, instead of just like being on the surface, instead of being distracted, instead of being pulled by temptations and all the things that are really outside of oneself. If you really analyze it, these are things that are outside of oneself. One goes inside oneself, and that's the Beis goes inside and connects with his inner strength, his inner purpose, his inner mission, his higher being, to make sure that he doesn't fall to these outside things. So that's the Beis, again, relating to Beis. Now, the other aspect to tshuva, to the letter Beis, is, like I mentioned, that the word Beis, the letter Beis, is also a word. It's also a word. When you pronounce bit letter bays, it's bays, it becomes like base, bias, house, house. And when a person does tshuva, person is like they say the with David HaMelech, King David sings this in the Psalms, Shifti beveis Hashem, I want one thing I desire in my life, to dwell in the house of the Lord. So what it means to say is when a person does tshuva, their whole orientation is different. Where they're residing is different. Their house is different. They're no longer in the house of zoinus, of prostitutes, for example, that's a phrase that's used, but in the house of the Lord, you know, the house, Beis Hashem. They're in a different place. They're different, a different house, a different setting. And that's where many times it takes a person literally, physically, to change their physical setting sometimes, a house, in order to feel that and identify. That's what a yeshiva is really about. Yeshiva and going into prison, a lot of times, the story of a lot of times, certainly with the boy doing tshuva, is that he'll end up being enrolled in a yeshiva. Either someone else will enroll him, he'll enroll himself in a yeshiva, because that bias, that house, that surroundings that he's in ensures that he stays on that path and solidifies his new lifestyle. And this is what the bias, he has a whole other house. In fact, that's one of the beautiful things. The person does tshuva, he can really elevate his household to another level of holiness, of meaning, of kedusha, of purpose. So that's also connected to the letter beis. Now, some interesting insights further on this is that the Torah begins with the letter beis, and that letter bereishis, which is very, very significant to what we're talking about, because the word bereishis is in the beginning. It's a type of creation. And that letter that word begins with the letter beis, and that letter beis has a dot in it. And I believe that I saw this maybe in the Vilna Gaon. I think I saw, maybe it's quoting from the Zohar, the phrase Nekuda Beheichele. It's a certain point in its heichel, in its sanctuary. It's a certain special point, that point, that dot. Now that dot really means something on a diktuk level, on a grammatical level, that one pronounces it as b, the letter b instead of v, okay? But it really tells something, perhaps also again graphically and in sort of a symbol to us. When you see a letter beis, there's a line on top and there's a line on the bottom, and now with this letter beis with the dot in the middle, pronounced b, which is a stronger letter, we're again emphasizing another aspect of tshuva, of repentance, that one is now combining the lower line, which is the physical, and the upper line, which is the spiritual, and he's going now in life with a new mission, a new purpose, strong. He's not just floating through life, but he has with purpose, and that's how you enter the Torah, with that letter. You combine the physical, and that's actually, that letter hints to the rest of that verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven, that's the upper line, and the earth, that's the whole first verse of the Torah. And that's symbolized by the very first letter. The reason why this is significant is because the Vilna Gaon, the genius of Vilna, the Vilna Gaon emphasizes that, always emphasizes that everything's in the beginnings. So here you have the first letter hinting to in that one letter, the whole message of the whole first verse, and the whole first verse and that letter together hinting to the whole Torah, which is essentially helps us combine the upper part and the lower part and combine it with a certain strength and the right, you know, as we say, Chazak ve'amatz, as Moshe said to Yeshua, as he's about to go into the land of Israel, and he's going to have that lower line, that physical line. Remember, don't forget the higher line, the spiritual, and that's where he needs to be strong, Chazak ve'amatz, strong. In fact, when Joshua came into the land of Israel, he had to conquer 31 kings, and there were some miracles left and right. He had to come with tremendous strength, and that's this beis that we're talking about. And this is what the Torah begins with. Now, it's interesting to me because that's the idea that when a person strays, he goes away from that. So how do you see that this letter, which I beautifully described, has to do with tshuva? I mean, that sounds like a beautiful message in general. It has to do with repentance. So we know that the last letter of the Torah is a lamed, and that comes connection to the word, well, the phrase, le'ene kol Yisrael, the last three words of the Torah, and that Moshe, through Moshe, God brought about that there was a lot of wonders and before the eyes of Israel. And Rashi there explains that this is a hint. What are they referring to? He's referring to specifically that he broke the luchos and before the eyes of the Jewish people, and this was a good thing. God said to Moshe, congratulations, you did the right thing in breaking the Luchos, breaking the Ten Commandments, because they had sinned. They had sinned with the golden calf. So God said, you did the right thing, Moshe, in breaking the Luchos and breaking the tablets. And that's what Rashi says is hinted to in the last three words of the Torah. Ein they call Yisrael before the eyes of the Jewish people. And we know that the ends connect with the beginnings. So the ends talk about a big sin, a very big sin, idol, the golden calf, which was like an idol, with the whole discussion if it was really like an idol or not, and what was going on there. But that's the simple reading. And Moshe breaks the Ten Commandments, breaks the two tablets, breaks the Luchos, and this was to get them to do tshuva, to repent. And that's how it ends. And that lamed, the last letter, again, we're talking about letters now, the last letter is a lamed, and the first letter of the Torah is a beis. You go back from the end of the Torah, you start right over back from the beginning again. So you connect the lamed, the last letter, beis, the first letter, and that spells lev, heart. And that hint to the word heart, using the last letter of the Torah, connecting it back to the first letter of the Torah, is an amazing message that it's the whole purpose of Moshe in breaking these luchos was to say, listen, like I said earlier, you got to get into that heart, into the heart of you. You get into that heart that has been pulling you in all different directions and mixing you up and confusing you. Get it straight, get it proper. And this way, when it's proper, it's strong. And it's interesting, what is that dot in the middle of the base as we connect the lamed back to the base? It's like the heart, it's the center. And in a way, it's the bottom of the beis is like the feet, and the top of the beis is like the mind and the head, the spiritual, whatever you want it in. And the heart could be like, so in a way that could be the heart also. So it's the lave, and it's reviving. It's a lave, that heart that's coming in response to a sin. And then it brings us back to the beginning of the Torah, which was Bereishis, which is now, as a Baal Tshuva, a person who's now coming back, we're told, guess what? This heart, you can have a new heart. And that new heart has the potential of creating again. Don't feel that all your powers are out the window and it's all over. No. The Lamed, which is at the end, brings us back to the base, brings us back to the potential of being a creator again. And what's the creation? Ourselves. The biggest creation is ourselves, to make ourself a Baal Tshuva. And there's a lot of hints to being about to this aspect of being about tshuva in the very first day. Andrew mentioned before about the first and how they connect to all that come after. I mentioned the first letter, then the first verse. Well, the first day of creation, there's a lot of interesting hints there. And I'm just going to mention one, that if you go from the word Elohim and the very powerful verse, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was God, and there was light. And that verse, which is the third verse of the Torah, has the word Elohim, Kim, which is God's name. I'm saying pronouncing it Elohim because they're not to pronounce Elo and then the him. Instead, I'm saying Kim. They're not to pronounce it the way it's written. The third verse, that's the word that's used to refer to God. And that Aleph, which is the first letter of that name of God, if you count all the first letters from that Aleph to the same word Elohim, which is in the seventh verse, and there it's talking about God creating the firmaments. It said God creates the firmaments, and he divided between the upper waters, the waters above the firmaments, and the waters below the firmaments. There, if you go, take all the first letters, they call it the Rosh Tevis, again, the concept of first, all from that Elohim, the Aleph of Elohim in the third verse to the Aleph of Elohim in the seventh verse, it comes out to the numerical value of the word tshuva. And I was thinking how beautiful this hint is, because the third verse, talking about light, first person has to put up a light, turn a light on within his mind and his heart and his being before he can do tshuva. A person can't do tshuva unless he first finds the light within himself. First, he's got to turn that light on, and that's where the first Elohim is mentioned. But then he has to put it into action, and he will put it into action if he does tshuva. But yeah, and what kind of action? He'll make a firmament. He'll make a new kind of spirituality within him, within his being and his life, by changing his ways. And he'll divide between the lower waters and the upper waters, meaning to say, what's water? Water is the flow. He'll divide between the flow of activity that he has, the water that goes on below the firmaments, the physical things, the things that are just mundane, whatever, and the upper firmaments, above the firmaments that are spiritual. He'll be able to not lose touch with that. And again, That division is similar to the bays again. Below firmaments, above the firmaments is the two realms. And that's hinted to there on the second day. The second day, again, two bays. That's making two realms on the second day. Anyhow, I'm just going to wrap it up because we do want to get right away to this very, very special interview, which I'm sure you're going to love. But here's the thing. Rabbi Mizrahi is a person who really is in the trenches and had the mazel and the blessing to reach out to people who are of all types and get them to really go inwards and light it, put a light within themselves so that they can realize that there's two separate realms. There's the physical and now there's the spiritual. Don't forget the spiritual. And right now we're about to hear some very powerful words and inspiration for Rabbi Mizrahi. And so at this point, we're going to continue. And this is quite a long interview. And if you want, you know, it's good. It's a quite a long interview. It's making the show longer than usual. But I think it's worth it to hear this particular interview. And I hope that everybody enjoys it.